In the sleepy town of Hartsdale, Georgia, pediatrician and medical examiner Sarah Linton's day begins with delivering a devastating leukemia diagnosis to a 12-year-old patient. Her routine is further disrupted by an uncomfortable call from her ex-husband, Jeffrey Tolliver, the town's police chief, and the arrival of a mysterious postcard reading, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" These seemingly disconnected events foreshadow the horror to come. During her lunch break at the local diner, Sarah discovers Sybil Adams, a blind college professor, brutally attacked in the bathroom. Despite desperate attempts at CPR, Sybil dies in Sarah's arms, blood pooling around them on the floor. The crime scene reveals a methodical killer signature, a cross-shaped wound carved across Sybil's abdomen. When Sarah asks if the killer will stop with just one victim, Jeffrey's answer is chilling. No. The investigation takes a personal turn when Detective Lena Adams learns the victim is her twin sister. The morgue scene is haunting, the twins identical in appearance, one alive with grief, the other lifeless on the table. Lena's anguish manifests as rage directed at Sarah, screaming that a doctor should have been able to save her sister. The confrontation escalates until Lena physically attacks Jeffrey before collapsing in sobs. Trauma leaves permanent scars throughout the narrative. Lena's grief manifests as self-destructive behavior, drinking while driving, neglecting health, and pursuing leads against orders. Her relationship with Uncle Hank remains strained by their difficult history, including the childhood accident where Hank's drunk driving blinded Sybil. Sarah's character provides the deepest exploration of trauma. Raped 12 years earlier by hospital janitor Jack Allen Wright, she required a partial hysterectomy, leaving her unable to have children. For over a decade, she's received annual postcards with biblical verses from her attacker, constant reminders that her past follows her. When Sarah finally reveals her history to Jeffrey, his reaction devastates her. He repeatedly reads the trial transcript, sobbing for the Sarah he never knew. Their subsequent conversation reveals trauma's impact on relationships. "I bared my soul to you, and your response was to get out of town?" she tells him, explaining how the 15-minute rape destroyed everything she'd built. The investigation escalates when a second victim, Julia Matthews, is found displayed on Sarah's car, nude, drugged, with duct tape over her mouth, and positioned in a crucifixion pose. Sarah discovers the woman has been drugged with belladonna, her teeth removed, body bleached, and sexually assaulted. Most disturbing is that Julia has been literally crucified, her hands and feet punctured through the center with wood slivers under her nails. Upon regaining consciousness, Julia reveals her attacker claimed to be making love to her, revealing his disturbing pathology. The case takes a tragic turn when Julia grabs Lena's gun during an interview and commits suicide. This forces investigators to recognize they're dealing with an evolving serial predator who now keeps victims for days rather than killing immediately. While Jeffrey investigates a lead in Atlanta concerning Sarah's paroled rapist, the real killer strikes again, abducting Lena. She awakens naked in complete darkness on a rough wooden floor. Throughout the novel, characters hide behind carefully constructed facades. The most dramatic revelation comes when Jeb McGuire, the seemingly gentle town pharmacist pursuing Sarah, is exposed as the killer, a psychopath targeting women in twisted religious rituals inspired by Sarah's original attacker. Sarah maintains her own protective mask, concealing her rape trauma from nearly everyone. When finally revealing her past to Jeffrey, she explains, "I took what happened to me and I locked it away." This compartmentalization allowed her professional functioning but created emotional walls in her relationships, particularly during her marriage. Jeffrey projects confidence and authority as police chief while hiding his vulnerabilities, his continued love for Sarah, and deteriorating health. He maintains an appearance of unwavering certainty, even when cases deeply shake him. Lena's tough detective persona shields her from grief and family trauma. Her relationship with her blind twin sister Sybil was complex. Lena helped foster Sybil's independence while harboring unacknowledged jealousy about Sybil's relationship with Nan Thomas. Violence in the novel serves as a crucible that reveals characters' true natures, stripping away social facades. When Sarah finds Sybil dying, her medical training overrides her horror. Later, she performs increasingly aggressive measures to save Julia Matthews, including manually massaging the woman's heart. Jeffrey's response to violence reveals both protective instincts and barely contained rage. Confronting Jack Wright, he nearly loses control, breaking Wright's ankle monitor and having him arrested on a technicality, an abuse of power driven for fear for Sarah. For Lena, violence triggers vulnerability alongside remarkable resilience. Captured by Jeb, she creates elaborate mental escapes, vivid dreams of floating with Sybil or encounters with her ex-boyfriend, to survive systematic torture. As Jeb prepares to nail her hands to the floor, she retreats to her beach fantasy, this time flying, showing how the mind can dissociate from unbearable pain. The most disturbing transformation comes through Jeb McGuire, whose violence is calculated and symbolic, quoting Bible verses during torture, positioning victims in crucifixion poses, and telling Lena that blood makes a good lubricant. Hartsdale appears idyllic, but the investigation reveals dark undercurrents beneath its surface. The local diner where Sybil is murdered represents the community's heart. Its violation forces residents to question their assumptions about small-town safety. The interconnected nature of relationships both aids and impedes the investigation. Sarah performs autopsies on people whose families she's known for years, while Jeffrey interviews suspects he's coached in Little League and shared holidays with. Small-town gossip functions as a double-edged sword. The rumor mill churns constantly, with speculation spreading faster than official information. At the pharmacy, a seemingly casual comment provides a crucial investigative breakthrough, though wrapped in the insensitive packaging of local gossip. By the novel's end, Jeffrey's perception of his town has fundamentally changed. Driving back into Grant County after closing the case, he feels permanently changed, unable to view his community with the same trust. The familiar streets now carry darker undertones, a reminder that evil often wears a neighbor's face. The novel explores trauma's lasting toll. Sarah compartmentalizes her rape, enabling professional success but undermining her marriage as she remains emotionally closed off. Lena pays an even steeper price, becoming mute after her rescue from Jeb's attic. The final scene poignantly reveals her permanent damage when Sarah begins to say, "He can't hurt you anymore," but stops, both women knowing Jeb will continue hurting Lena every day for the rest of her life. Julia Matthews represents the tragic alternative, choosing suicide over continued suffering, forcing others to confront that survival itself may be the harder path. Yet amid this bleakness, the novel offers tentative hope through connection. In the final scene, Jeffrey helps Sarah repair a sink drain, retrieving her old wedding ring. Though initially resistant, Sarah agrees when he suggests bringing dinner the next night. This small domestic moment suggests that while trauma never fully disappears, human connection offers the possibility of moving forward.